Joe Sixpack Podcast, which is right now being broadcast live on Twitch TV and for download later on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Shoutcast, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and YouTube. And then later on, those will be for download later, and live on Twitch. And Twitch will hold on to the show for about 2 weeks. Then they kick it off to save server space. That's why we upload to all these other outlets. Special guest tonight is Edmund Jones. And I love the name of this racing league and how he came up with it. He's going to talk about that tonight. It's the Jones Bullshit Racing League. Edmund, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me, Greg. Glad to be here.
Hey, you're welcome. So tell me, I've got your bio up here about the league and about your history. So you've been around racing for quite a while, it says. You started when you were pretty young?
So my first race was actually when I was 2 weeks old.
Oh my gosh! Where was that?
My dad was wrenching on a race car the day I was born. It was an old Nova street stock that he ran at the local quarter mile.
Oh, Novas! I love Novas. They were such a great.
It was such a big, heavy car up there. It's back when these guys, they were driving tanks out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to, because of all the beating and banging. Like, if you couldn't have a sturdy car, you ain't making it very far.
Exactly. And I remember when they retired the Nova from regular production. I forget when it was. And then they came out with that stupid thing they called the Nova 2, which actually I think eventually became the Citation or something. It was hideous. All the Nova fans I remember from the 70s and 80s were like, you shouldn't even call that a Nova. It's like when Ford brought out the Mustang 2, which was basically just a glorified Pinto.
Oh, yeah. That was such a sad time for cars in general.
Oh, yes.
Like, the whole gas crisis and all the manufacturers going to, you know, the more fuel-efficient, the smaller cars. They got rid of the best-looking cars back then. Even to this day, those are still the best-looking cars that are in existence.
Yeah, they are. They were some awesome automobiles there. So you're 2 weeks old?
I was 2 weeks old.
Oh, man.
When I went to my first race, this is back when safety regulations were a lot more relaxed.
Yep.
So I grew up around racing. My dad and my grandfather, they built the cars. My dad drove them. Every Saturday night, we were up at the racetrack.
Yep.
My mom had a playpen. They'd sit at the top of the grandstands, and there was asphalt, like, blacktop behind the stands to where you can go, you know, to concessions and everything up at the local track. So she'd put the playpen there. And
I love it.
I remember them telling me stories. I would sit there and the cars would come out and you'd think the loud noise, a baby would be awake and cranky.
Yep.
It instantly just put me to sleep.
No kidding.
Anytime the cars were out on the track, I was asleep, and as soon as they were off, I was cranky. I wanted to hear more.
Oh, I got it. We were up at Loudon this summer for the NASCAR race up there, and we met a friend from my league. He lives locally there, and his three-year-old fell asleep during the race. Noise put him right to sleep. So you actually woke up crying because you wanted to hear more.
Yep, and from then on, racing's just been in the blood, man. I mean,
that's a great
story. I don't have as much seat time as my father.
Yeah,
you know, I've just ran, you know, the local little four-banger class when I was a teenager.
Yep.
And, you know, unfortunately, we had to get out of in-real-life racing just due to money constraints.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It takes quite a bit to run a street stock anymore, even. Most of the guys up here in Washington, they're running the 402 crate engines.
Uh-huh.
And those can be kind of spendy just to run with those guys and be competitive.
Oh, exactly. So how's the dirt track scene up there? We've had a number of dirt tracks in the Northeast, and even some famous ones. Not even, it wasn't a dirt track. Raceway Park in New Jersey recently folded because of things getting out of control. How is it out where you are?
So as far as dirt track racing, there's really not a lot up here in Washington.
Okay.
You got a couple up in, like, we're talking 10 miles away from the Canadian border.
Yep.
I believe it's Skagit Raceway up there. Then you got some down in central to eastern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty much smack dab in the center of Washington, and right now it would take me a good 4-hour drive to get to any dirt track.
Oh, wow.
So it's predominantly asphalt racing up here. I mean, I grew up around asphalt.
Yep.
Unfortunately, like many tracks around the country, we have had a few shut down.
Yeah.
The local half mile here, in the city I live in, Yakima, Washington, they closed down last year. But the great thing about that is the guys that were keeping Yakima alive, they went an hour southeast to Tri-City Raceway, which it is a triangle track similar to Concord.
Oh, okay.
And it's a half-mile triangle, and they were able to, I think they said it was 136 days, they were able to revitalize that whole entire track that hasn't been ran in 18 years.
18 years. You can do a lot, nature can do a lot of damage to asphalt in 18 years.
Very much so. Like, they worked a miracle and got that track ready. They got the grandstand ready. And they brought back one of the crown jewel races of the Northwest, which is the Apple Cup.
Oh, okay.
And they brought that back this last fall. Oh, I'm sorry, the Fall Classic for this fall. And then they're bringing back the Apple Cup in the spring. And it's one of the largest super late model races in the Northwest.
That is cool.
I think they had something like 52 guys go up for that, the inaugural Fall Classic down there at that raceway.
That's a good turnout for a small track.
Oh, that, it was great. They had over 160 cars for the whole weekend.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, it was insane.
It seems to be what's happening is, at least my perspective, my limited perspective in racing. I watch NASCAR. I race on iRacing. I don't know much about the dirt scene or the small tracks, but it seems that people that are real race fans are like, just got this something going on where, hey, if we don't do something, we're going to lose a lot of tracks. Because I'm finding here in the Northeast, there's a couple that are starting to come back. I mean, North Wilkesboro is on its way back, and Tennessee's putting a lot of money into the, I guess it's the fairgrounds at Nashville, to bring that track back.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of good to see, because if we don't do anything, we're just gonna have nothing to race on but iRacing.
I am actually loving this. I guess you could even call it a revolution.
Yeah.
That we are seeing even up in the NASCAR ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to bring back short track racing.
Yeah.
Like, I've said it probably a good last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I was a kid, I hated watching the 1.5 mile tracks.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there's a couple. Like, I usually like the Atlanta race.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement is what you get to go out there and see on a Saturday night.
Right, the excitement.
Getting to go out there and see the short track, see them beat and bang, and
exactly,
you know, real hard racing.
Yeah, well, the excitement is in the turns, not the straightaways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I would much rather watch guys go around Bristol, Martinsville, North Wilkes, Nashville,
yep,
and be doing 120 rather than 200 at a mile and a half.
Yeah, we were lucky. We made a last-minute decision, my son and I and one of his friends, to go to Martinsville for the weekend. And we sat right at the finish line. about halfway up, and then as the race got near the end, we went down to the finish line, and it was so cool. We were standing right next to the guy that gave Noah Gregson the beer after the truck race, and that wasn't the truck race. See how much I know? So I was standing right next to the guy that gave Noah Gregson the beer, and then Sunday afternoon, we were right there when Byron and Denny went at it, and that was insane.
Yeah, that's memories there.
Yeah,
that's something that, you know, 20 years from now, you can sit there and look back in a YouTube video.
Yep.
And watch that incident and be like, man, I was there.
Yep. And it's funny because I've got a somewhat of an online presence, more so on the lawn and garden end, because I'm a garden designer by trade, and I'm a photographer as well. And my son got into photography, and he's working his way into to be able to photograph races and such, and he's getting some. And so he's got his online presence is much larger than me. We both posted a video on Twitter, and he's like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, well, I'm going to post it on here. Maybe I can get a few hundred. In 15 minutes, he had 20,000 hits on the Twitter thing, and I think I had two. So I'm like, shut up. I don't want to talk about it.
That's insane. I mean, it's great to see that presence for some guys. I mean, I do want to shout out one of our sponsors real quick for the AMT Racing Photography.
Yep.
He mostly does dirt photography.
Ah, cool.
But man, if you ever get the chance, go on his Facebook page and see some of the photos he does.
Okay.
Andrew Thornton does an amazing job at any racetrack. They talk about a multi-talented guy. He's a race announcer. He's a promoter. He's a photographer. Like he can do anything for just about anybody at any local short track on any given weekend.
And cool.
It's just cool to see that.
Yeah.
He
was a guest on the podcast about a month ago.
A great guy.
Yes.
Absolutely great guy. He's one of my admins.
Cool. Okay.
So I can see why your son would want to go photograph races.
Yeah.
That is such an exciting thing to do and be able to travel and do that.
Yep. So he's got an in with possibly a new Xfinity team that's just starting up, Xfinity or ARCA, and they've invited him down to Charlotte sometime in the spring to check out his work, because we were at Watkins Glen and he's taking pictures, and the team owner, a doctor with a lot of money who, like me, knows nothing about cars but has enough money to buy a team. And I said, hey, we're going to dinner. And he goes, no, I'm having dinner with the owner of this new team that's starting next year. I'm going, get out of town. I said, good for you. So, and then we both work over at Lime Rocket, which is about an hour from our house, on their major weekends with a volunteer group that runs like the hospitality and the golf carts to make sure the drivers get to the podium if they win, to the paddock, to the starting line. So he puts his 4 hours in there, then takes his camera out and goes around and starts snapping photos and stuff. So you said you did drive, what was it, four-cylinder? You called it a four-banger.
Yeah, a little stock four-cylinder class.
Yep.
I believe it was a 78 Volkswagen Rabbit. I might have the year wrong.
Cool. Rabbit?
Yeah, you want to talk about a rough go of it to start.
Yeah.
We bought that car for, I believe it was $500.
No
kidding.
It was
already built. You know, the guy's kid that was driving it, he ended up upgrading to a different class. It was one of the only carbureted engines on the track in that class.
Wow.
Everyone else was running fuel injection, and we didn't realize it till I got out on the track that first night, and I would come off the corner and I'm full throttle and that thing just ain't going. It's sitting there putt, and then goes.
Oh man.
And we ended up finding out that the carburetor flips were completely wrong. Like they were just jacked up, and I wasn't getting any power to the car at all.
Oh, man. And,
yeah.
But at least you got to race.
Very true.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time, you know, being on pit crews, too.
Yep.
I've been up around, you know, modifieds, late models, street stocks, mini stocks, you know, of course, a little four-wheeler class. I mean, I've got to travel around the Northwest with some really good teams.
That's cool.
And I learned a lot and made a lot of good memories just being there. I may not be behind the wheel, but it's just an experience altogether.
Yeah, it is an experience, and it's a small world, and the people that are, you know, the pit crews, the car owners, the families, they seem to know who's hanging out by the fence or getting a pit pass. They seem to know who really wants to get into it, because it just seems it's like a sixth sense with them. They see you look around and go, hey, you want to work on a car? Come on over here. And it's just magic the way it works. It's a small family, and the way everybody just helps each other out. And, you know, if you're hanging around and watching a guy buff his lug nuts, someone's going to realize, hey, this guy either has no life or he wants to be in racing. One of the two.
I've seen a lot of those guys. it's insane the family sense that you get from just short track racing in America.
That's true.
You know, like I said, growing up, any given Saturday night, you had my mom with me sitting there in the playpen, later on my sister. My grandfather raised my three cousins, their three brothers. So they were always up there. My grandma was up there. I had two, three sets of aunts and uncles, and all my other cousins. Like, we'd have anywhere from 15 to 30 people in the stands.
Wow.
Just to watch my dad. And, you know, I had cousins that raced. I had uncles that raced. Just our family alone, on any given night, you're talking one to six cars through the various divisions at a local short track.
Wow.
And just a real big family element. And it was great just growing up in that environment and being around it.
Because, you know, you're outside, and dirt tracks they're still a bargain. I think we have the one closest to us, Lebanon Valley, we haven't been there in a couple seasons, of course, last year because of COVID. You can still get in for $10. And they have...
Man, I wish.
Yeah, well, they do. They have $10 seats over there. And even their reserved or their balcony seats are only like $18. And they pride themselves on having 50 cents for a serving of baked beans. And beer's not a ripoff. It's, you know, it's rot gut beer, but it's only like $3 or $4 a can. So it's still a decent night out.
Yeah, I wish. I say that because those promoters need to come up to the Northwest to these tracks up here. It's gotten so expensive that it's hard for any family
really
to go up there on a Saturday night.
What's it cost to get in for Saturday night for a person up there?
For one person?
Yeah.
You're looking anywhere from $15 to $25 just to get in for general admission.
Okay. Yeah, that can be expensive for a family of four or five.
Then, you know, the track I grew up, burger and fries, is $14.
Oh, yeah, that hurts because everybody's got to get that. So you're talking by the end of the night, it's a $40 to $50 per person night.
At least.
Yeah,
I have a big family.
Yeah.
I got a blended family. We got five kids between me and my fiance.
Wow.
For us to go and take all five kids just to get in the door, we're looking about $100.
Yeah, that's a lot. I hear you.
So it's one of those, you know, dirt track racing might be different. I've actually never been to a dirt race. My first dirt race is actually going to be coming up in April of next year. We're going to be heading down to Bristol for the Outlaw event down at Bristol, and they put the dirt back on there.
Yep.
Going down there with Andrew Thornton, Joseph Smith, a couple of my admins with JBSRL.
Ah, cool.
And, you know, we're gaming buddies that are going to meet for the first time. We're going to go watch some sprint car and late model action down in Bristol.
Wow, so you're making the trip cross country. Good for you.
Yeah, it's definitely something we are planning for.
Yep.
Travel is not cheap anymore.
No, I was lucky because before I retired and opened up my own garden design business, I was a buyer for a large independent garden center company down in the Poughkeepsie, New York area, and I got to travel quite a bit, and I managed to get out to out in your neck of the woods, Seattle, Yakima, the Willamette Valley a couple times, an absolutely beautiful part of the country. I think it pretty much rivals the Hudson Valley in the Northeast where I am. If I had to pick another area as beautiful as where I am, it would definitely be where you are out there in Washington. Beautiful place out there.
It's absolutely gorgeous until this time of year.
you getting into that snow?
I'm a truck driver by trade, so okay. I'm used to the bad weather and driving in the bad weather.
Yep.
But it's one thing I never love, driving in snow.
Are you getting any of that snow from what they call the atmospheric rivers or whatever they want to name it this week?
Oh, yeah. So I have about a four-hour drive one way. I got snowed on the entire time.
Oh, man.
So it's 300 miles of just dumping snow, and it is so rough. when you have a day like that.
That is rough. We had the last big, what I would call a blizzard around here, was a couple years ago, and my son was working at a restaurant, and it was just over the hill, about 3 miles from where we live. And normally it's 7 minutes out, 7 minutes back. The snow, you couldn't do anything. Your high beams, of course, didn't work. And even the low beams, there was so much snow, you could not see because of the snow reflecting off of you. And we have two little hills to go up and over that are pretty steep. A 10-minute round trip or 15-minute round trip to get them ended up being 45 minutes, almost an hour, because we couldn't see where we were on the road. You roll your window down and look to the left or look to the right, you could see because there was no headlights reflecting off it. And these are low beam lights, and it was snowing so hard we could not see where we were, or even if we were on the road at all. So I know what you're driving through, and it's not fun, and I'm glad we don't have to do it too much out here.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fair weather person. I grew up in Washington, but man, yep. I am in the wrong part of the country.
Yeah, you know, I used to love the snow and the cold, and where we are, it gets really windy in the winter. Like, the wind starts blowing in October, and it doesn't stop until it gets back to like 60 degrees in late April. The only thing that's keeping me from heading south is I don't like all that heat and humidity for 6 or 7 months that we have here for about 10 days. But so I don't know. We'll either stay up here or end up in Virginia or something. We haven't made up our minds yet. Depends where the kids end up.
And that's a big one, is definitely where the family is.
Yeah.
You want to be close.
Yep. And you don't want to be chasing them around if they're job hoppers like a lot of today's generation is. I'm part of the last of the generation where you get a job, you stay there for your whole career unless they downsize or you get fired.
And I grew up with my father's been with the same company for probably 35 years. I'd have to confirm with him, yeah. But
that's a long time.
I grew up the same way.
Yep.
I mean, I try to stay with the company as long as I can.
Sure.
It's just, yeah.
So you said
one thing that would make me change is, you know, going down south and being somewhere where we can race all year round.
Yep.
You know, there is no off season.
Right, I hear you. So you said you're a trucker. I know it's hard to not only get material to deliver, but also drivers. How's that affecting you? Are you having to put in a lot of overtime, or had?
So I do do some overtime.
Yeah,
but I'm in probably one of the best industries for trucking, which is. I haul food. I haul raw milk.
Oh, okay. Yep, I see that.
So it's one thing. I mean, cows ain't going to stop producing milk.
Right.
You know, we got to get them to a dairy somehow. And, you know, well, I'm always going to have that job security as long as we don't kill off the beef population.
There you go. So let's get back to the bullshit racing league. How did... I got here how you came up with the name. I thought it was hilarious. And only in America could a guy that runs the Jones Bullshit Racing League end up on a podcast called the Joe Sixpack Podcast. That's a match made in a tavern.
It's a match made in heaven. Kind of had a rocky start. So, I've only been on iRacing since last March.
Okay.
I've never really, growing up, I never really had the computer. I didn't have anything to do anything, complicated as far as sim racing.
Sure.
And have that setup that I wanted. I'm the type of guy that if I'm going to do something, I want it done a certain way.
Same here.
And it's one of those, I had to have the cockpit, I had to have the wheel, it didn't have to be the top end stuff, but yeah. So I finally just made the jump and I got it. And, eventually got my father into it. And for a while, I didn't know about leagues.
Yeah.
I ended up running, trying to find a couple different leagues I wanted to drive. But my dad would never jump in because he didn't want to be the guy that ruins the race for everyone else.
Gotcha. Yep, that's how I was. That's why I stayed away from leagues for a long time.
Because leagues, they're a more competitive environment typically than what you get in your officials.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot more strict. I mean, I know at JBSRL we have our rule book, mm-hmm. and we're even adding on and clarifying a couple things in between seasons.
Yep.
And
same here.
It's one of those that he didn't want to be the burden.
Got it.
So it turned into, how can I run with my father on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I could think of is I'm going to create my own league.
Sure.
And, I got my buddies in. I pitched the idea to them, and they came and they were in it with me.
Cool.
And the first iteration was actually called the Short Track Showdown Series.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept was, cars that you see on Saturday nights, so your street stocks, your SK Modifieds, your regular rate models, the lower power cars that you see normal Joes driving on Saturday nights.
Sure.
And it was a complete disaster. We had five guys show up, and four of them were me, my two buddies, and my dad.
There you go.
It was a complete disaster because we didn't want to just run five cars.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so things kind of got swapped around. I ended up getting a different shift with trucking, and the league that we'd started, it was on Sunday mornings. It couldn't work anymore.
Yep.
So I go back to the leagues I was running and running officials with my dad whenever I can. But the issue is his I rating's lower than mine.
Yep.
We're never in the same split. We don't get to run on the same track.
That's important.
And so, a couple months go by and I'm like, okay, let's try this league thing again. And I'm going to be honest with you, I am blown away. I am absolutely blown away by the support that I have gotten with JBSRL.
What do you think? What do you think was different the second time around?
Better time slot.
Okay, so you had trouble with Sunday morning. That would be a great time to have a Sunday morning league for someone that wants to get done, go to church, or go to a ball game in the afternoon or something.
Yeah, and that was my thinking too.
Yeah,
I ran a different league Sunday nights.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, well, I have Sundays off. I'm going to run from 9 a.m. until, 5, 6 p.m. and run all these different leagues and just race all day. But it just, like you said, it fell flat. And I was like, okay, well, I have Mondays and Tuesdays off now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run something Monday night.
Okay.
And I threw it up, 7:30 p.m. My buddy, Andrew, he wanted to run the Legends. He really likes the Legends 34. And So it's like, okay, we'll run Legends. Me and Dad, we love the Tour Modifieds. So, boom, we had two series right there, and I talked to my buddy who had broadcasted for another league, Doug Burns. He's with his Switch is How to Second iRacing on all socials. And talked to him, I'm like, hey, you want to come broadcast this? And he's like, sure. You know, I pay him, and I come into our first week, which, mind you, this is 14 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, okay, if I have 10 cars show up tonight, that's all I want is 10 cars.
Right.
And the Legends we were running at Oxford, and the Tour Mods we were running at Richmond. And we jump into the, by the time I jumped into the Legends session, there was already 18 guys sitting in that lobby.
That's cool. In the middle of summer.
In the middle of summer.
That's good.
18 guys on a Monday night sitting in that lobby ready to go.
Very good.
And absolutely amazing racing. The kid that won, and I call him a kid because he's only 15. It's amazing how the young generation can drive these cars, man. Especially those Legends.
Doesn't it piss you off?
It does. To all ends, because I can work on a setup for weeks for one race and go out there, and he's still 2/10 of a second faster than me.
It drives me crazy.
So I'm like, okay, great. 18 cars in the Legends. You know, I'm riding the high right now. Tour Mods, I know they're not popular.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a popular car on the service. So I'm hoping maybe 10 again, and boom, we got 12 or 13 that first night.
That's really good.
And very, like, very good. And that first week, I'm just riding the high.
Wow.
And talk to the broadcaster, and of course he puts all of the broadcasts up on YouTube, so I was able to go back and watch them. And
that is so much fun watching them later.
We had three wide racing in the Tour Mods. You know, the Oxford race was just an insane battle.
Yep.
Great action. And then we get into week two.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I'm expecting you guys not to come back.
Yeah.
You know, I know how hard it is for leagues to join or to start up.
It's very hard.
And I've watched multiple ones just self-destruct in their first season.
Yeah.
And we kept increasing.
Good.
And we move on to the next week and just kept increasing and increasing until we're hitting 25 guys in the Legends on a weekly basis.
It took our Cup League three seasons. We started November 17th of 2020. It was originally going to be just a once-a-month money league with... We'd run three teaser races just to get people interested, and then the fourth race of the month was the money race. We had the same guys showing up, and it was pretty good turnout for those, of course, because you're throwing cash out to them. And they said, let's make a league. And I'm like, if you guys want to take the name and make a league, go for it. I don't have the time to do it, but I kind of got drafted because they had so much fun. I said, no, we're not going to do it without you. And I go, all right, but I'm not going to drive. I just want to set the league up because I can't, you know, admin the league and be the only guy doing it and setting everything up and then racing at the same time. So our first season was, we started, actually first season started in January of this year, I think, December or January. And we'd have, you know, the first race, 20 cars, and by the end of the season, we're down to a dozen. Season two, same thing, start out with 25 and the first race. Then we started hitting, you know, increasing to 15 a race. This season, season three, we have had only one race across 13 weeks that had less than 22 drivers, and it was one of our road courses. It was Sonoma the first time we ran it. So it takes a lot of work to get up to having 20 cars unless you're, you know, throwing stuff out there for money or the better races. Because we're a casual league. We got an I-rating cap of 2,000, and we take rookie 2.0 to A 4 point whatever. just as a casual league for new drivers and such like that. And we're very successful. And we've got a truck league that's in season three. We did a recruiting race last night at Atlanta, and we had 22 trucks. Tomorrow night's our first Formula V road course, so we're looking to have probably 20 for that too. And we had 25 for Charlotte on Sunday for the Next Gen Cup. So, yeah, for you to get that far in one season, hats off. That's an accomplishment.
Oh, definitely. And I honestly feel blessed that it's not just guys that are coming out and running one race and never come back.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we had a couple of those.
Oh, sure.
But we have a core group of guys now.
Yes.
And just about every guy in there, on any given basis, I'll jump into whatever Discord with them, and you know, we talk as friends. Everybody gets along.
Yep.
It's just amazing to see the growth.
It is. That's cool. Well, so it says you got owning a team of two cars. What does that team do?
Oh, cool. Yeah, venture outside of JVSLL.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of one, but XCal.
Yes.
So I'm now running an XCal, and my second driver is Andrew Thornton.
Ah, cool.
As
a matter of fact, I just saw
we're going to be running street stocks with them this year.
Okay, I think I just saw them. They're on Instagram quite a bit, I think.
Honestly, I'm not on Instagram very much, so I don't know.
Okay, I think that's where I saw it.
But great group of guys there. I mean, we ran the second preseason race last night, and went great. It just a fun time. I mean, gives me the break from JVSRL to just be like, yeah, I'm an owner, but I'm a driver there.
Yeah, I am too.
Because on JVSRL, we've grown to the point where you absolutely need a dedicated race control.
Okay.
And it's to the point where I cannot, like, I get too in the zone as a driver to realize what's going on around on the track and throwing cautions and trying to maintain order with, you know, We take 20 legends to the future and we run heat races, and 20 legends out there, it gets chaotic.
Yeah, if you're running heat races and stuff, you need someone in race control. It's almost impossible to race and keep track of all that.
Yeah, so I made the decision after season one, I'm stepping out of the car for my own league. I'm going to be race control for all four of our series. You know, we're expanding from 2 to 4.
Cool.
Going from just Monday nights to Sundays and Mondays, adding in a joint dirt street stock and asphalt street stock league or series, where one of our sponsors, JR Button Boxes, they're going to be giving the winner of the joint series one of their button boxes as a prize.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really cool.
That is going to be a venture in itself. I mean, it's the unknown of a new series. I mean, you guys sound like you've expanded with yours, so you guys obviously know.
Yes.
But the unknown of trying to get guys to come out and, you know, the street stocks, they're a free car. We welcome all to our league. We do not have an I-rating cap.
Okay.
Which it does bring a varied skill level in it. The way we combat that is 3 out of the 4 series are a fixed series.
Okay.
Edwards Setup Shop, they give us great setups for all of our fixed series. You know, they're honestly the best free setup shop on iRacing. You can go on their Discord, anything you want, it's in there, and if it's not in there, they will make it for you, and they will get a custom setup out there it's incredibly fast.
Good. Do you get a setup for each track, or just a baseline setup that's good for all of them?
So it's track to track. Wow. They go through, and Austin Edwards, the owner of Edwards Setup, mm-hmm. he goes through weekly and goes through the official series and does setups. And he has guys, you know, that do road, guys that do dirt. He's a primarily asphalt guy. And he goes through and does, you know, the next gen, the cup, the Xfinity, like everything that has a open class, mm-hmm. he will have a setup for. And if he doesn't, one of his setup builders will do it.
That's a commitment.
It is. And he does custom setups for our JBSRL races. You know, I ask him to have a little bit tighter setup for our JBSRL just because, you know, we do have that varied skill gap.
Yep.
So it's not as racy as a setup is a guy like him, who he's an incredibly insane driver. like he can take a loose race car and make it run fast.
Yeah.
But not every guy can. So he tightens up the setups for us, gives us a custom feel there that is still faster than the iRacing, gives these guys that sense of speed, and puts a really good racy setup in there.
Cool.
And it's put on great shows for our broadcast.
Yeah, I like a tighter setup myself. I don't do much with the setups. I'm sitting there, you know, you go to the iRacing setup, and I know nothing about that stuff. And I know so little about it that if I adjust the toe on or camber on one, the fuel cap pops off. That's how bad I am with that stuff. So I stay away from it. But I do like...
This is really going to make you feel bad then. The owner, Austin, is only 16.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
I sat there and I was blown away the first time that he told me that, because I'm 30.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming this kid, you know, I can tell he's young.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, he's early to mid-20s. And he's like, no, I'm 16. And I'm like, how the heck are you driving like that at 16 and producing these setups and you're giving them away for free?
How does he make money?
He does accept donations. A lot of guys, you know, myself included, choose to donate to him to keep it going.
Yep.
But he's not in it for the money. He's in it because he absolutely loves everything to do with racing.
Has he ever, does he have any real life experience with racing, or is it just something he...
A lot of real life experience. Right now he's actually running a Legends car down in, I believe they're down in Vegas right now.
Okay.
Doing a road course series in the Legends.
Oh, that sounds like...
I've seen videos of him in a Pinto, I've seen videos of him in a late model, I've seen him on dirt tracks, like... Yeah, he's got a ton of in-real life experience and a ton of iRacing experience.
So that's cool because that he does it on both ends. That's
definitely.
That's pretty rare because usually you get it. Anybody that I know that is, like, I got a friend of mine up around here. I'll be 60 in the spring, and I got another friend who's just turned 59, and knows everything about the modifieds that run up here, the dirt modifieds. The small block and big blocks, and looks at a computer. He goes, I don't know what the hell that is, but he could fix a race car like you wouldn't believe. But he gets on a computer and he's like, how do you turn this on? See,
those guys are fun to listen to.
Oh yeah.
One of the crews that I painted with, he's my uncle by marriage. Probably one of the smartest guys I have ever known to be around a race car.
Yep.
His name's Ted Mitchell, and some of those cars that he could put together for his son, I could have went out there and won races. Wow. Like, the guy's just insanely knowledgeable about everything there is to do about any car. It doesn't matter if it's street stocks, late models, modifieds, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
that's great. So what else? So your leagues. Tell me about. So you said there's no. You just show up and race. No iRating caps, and three of them are fixed. Do you have guys that show up with like I ratings below 1,000 and then others that are professionals, and how do they get along on the track? With, let's say you got a guy that's got an I rating of 8,000 and I show up on a road course with my I rating, I'm embarrassed to say, 700. How do I get along with a guy that's 8,000, and how does he get along with me in your league?
We do have a three-strike rule.
Okay.
That's one way that we've been trying to combat it, is if you cause a caution, you know, the first two times, it's an EOL. This goes back to the race control deal.
Okay.
And us being able to review incidents. With us not having a rating cap, we do have a very, very wide skill range.
Yeah.
You know, we do have those guys that they're up around 4,000 or 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have other guys that, you know, I'm about a 1,500.
Yeah, I'm a 1,420. Yeah.
So it's, you know, of course those guys are going to be a lot faster.
Yeah.
So for a while, we had to find a way to try to get these guys to stop running over guys. Some guys were very aggressive, and unfortunately, it's been one of those that we've had to get rid of a few guys because of how they drove other guys.
Sure.
You know, we're not a money league. You don't have to pay anything to come run with us. We're out here on a Sunday and a Monday night to have a good time.
Same here.
We want everybody to be respected, everybody to come out here and have the best racing environment that we can.
Got it.
And so it's one of those, the guys that we do have that are those high skill now, they have that understanding that it is a varied skill gap. And typically, the lower skill gap guys, they typically get out of the way.
Okay, that's cool.
They know who's fast. You know, these guys have ran around each other enough that it's one of those that, oh, hey, this guy's coming up on me, I better go high.
Yeah.
I also do remind lap cars. You know, we have a rule, lap, if you're being lapped or, you know, you're already a lap down, you must yield to lead lap cars.
That's a good rule.
You know, of course, we do have wave arounds and everything.
Yeah.
So you can get your lap back. Just trying to take the emphasis off guys, you know, having to stay on the lead lap.
Yeah.
Giving guys ways to get back into the race. But it's been a challenge, but it's one that has gone pretty well so far.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
You know, we going to rules, like, we're going to be changing to a two-strikes rule where it's an EOL for the first one, and the second one you're disqualified. But it's also one of those that you get one, best way of saying it is a freebie.
Mm-hmm.
If you cause a caution and you get on the mic and you own up to it, you're not getting a strike for that.
Got it. Okay.
And you get one of those a race.
Yeah.
So it's going to hold guys accountable, but it's also, you know, trying to get guys to be away from that type of behavior.
Got it. How do you handle it when somebody, you know, of course, when you're driving and you get into a wreck because you can't see 360 degrees around you, it's never your fault. I know it's never mine until I see the replay. We have what we, so, you know, and it's guys being guys, and our Sunday league is broadcast, so we don't want everybody, you know, their fans on the chat to say, hey, that guy's an asshole, we knocked him off, F this, you know, like that. So we have what we call a one and done. So because I can't see exactly where I am on the track or can't see you coming up, and I may have come down on you, but of course you hit me, our rule is you call each other a dumbass once, and then you take it private, either through private text or private chat or on your own Discord, not on the league Discord. And if it keeps up, both of you either get an EOL or DQ'd. How do you handle arguments on the radio?
Well, thankfully we haven't had too many issues with that. From the get-go, I've told everybody in the league, you guys are men, handle this like men.
Yep.
You wait until after the race. If there is an issue, you go into a channel together. You guys hash it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys cannot hash it out and you guys need an admin to come in, I'll come in and play Peacekeeper.
Gotcha.
Guys ain't gonna like what I have to say, because I'm gonna tell both of them, hey, y'all are being dumbasses. Get over it and move on to the next race.
Yep.
But if guys do get on the radio and they are causing issues on the radio, because like I said, we want to have the best racing environment, and guys arguing on the radio, that's not a good racing environment.
No,
that's very distracting.
Yes.
We are very quick that if you're causing an issue, I'll warn you once.
Mm-hmm.
You do it again, I instantly mute you, and you get an EOL.
There you go.
You're getting an EOL, which is also counting towards your strike count.
Yep.
And, you know, thankfully we haven't had that issue. Most of the guys get along pretty well. You know, I was a driver in season one. I did have one incident at Hickory and two were modifieds. And I was pretty peeved, you know, but I didn't jump on the iRacing radio. I was in a Discord call with a couple guys. And
yeah.
Afterwards, I went and... That's what I'm saying is, we hashed it out.
Got it.
There was a lot of raised voices. but, you know, I want guys to handle it privately.
Yeah.
I want guys, you know, do it one-on-one, face-to-face.
Yep.
You know, same way you would at your local short track.
Sure. Or like they do in Ultimate Frisbee. The ref doesn't call a foul unless the two people can settle it. I started watching that, and I'm like... all right, I get it's California. I get it. It's the ultra liberal or the peaceful way, the hippie way to do it. But there's like, you know, if it were football, there'd be the flag would be thrown. It'd be a 15-yard penalty. But the two sides come out and they try to have like they moderate it between each other, and they get like 30 seconds to do it, and then the ref will come over and say, "You done?"
Yeah, it just needs to be like hockey. They get in a fight, let them fight it out, and then put them in the penalty box.
There you go. Yeah, so I had somebody on a couple weeks ago, and he was like, there's absolutely no arguing on the radios. He says you throw them right out of the race, and he's because his league is sponsored, and I think he was in Virginia, and somehow he got an auto glass company in Sacramento, California, somewhere in California, that was the sponsor. I don't know. He says, I don't know how he found him, or he found me. He wanted to sponsor the league. And he says, and we're broadcast, and we get a couple hundred people to watch the broadcast during the week. He says, all it takes is for some yahoo whose four-year-old kid is watching the race and sees something going on that they don't like, and they're going to call the sponsor, and then they're going to, you know, do the zero stars on Yelp and then start attacking their Facebook page. I guess he said he knew someone that it happened to, and let's say his business was in Virginia, and then somebody saw something online that somebody said about his business in Virginia, and this guy is in the other side of the world and starts attacking his Facebook page and his Yelp page. So he doesn't take any of it. So I just wondered how you guys did it, but that's pretty cool. We threw one of our sponsors out last year, a Canadian guy who did a great job on doing paints. And he put up $50 to sponsor a race. And we had our broadcaster plastering his logo all over the race. And I would, you know, type in and a little ad during the race on the text box, you know, thanking him for doing it. And he got rear-ended by somebody, and he didn't like it. He starts dropping F-bombs all over the place. So admins jumped in and threw him out right away. Then he went on the broadcaster's chat box and started the nonsense. Now, we've got racers from all over the world. We have some people a couple times from Australia. We've got a couple over in Ireland, a bunch of Canadians, Americans from as far south as Florida, as far west as Utah. And all of a sudden, here's this guy to F this, F that. Now, a lot of our racers, their wives and kids watch the race, and they're texting in, go dad, and all of a sudden, this guy starts coming in. So the broadcaster went bananas. and he just cut the guy right off. So you really got to watch it, because you never know, like I said, who on the other side of the world's going to start attacking your Facebook page or taking you down on Twitter that doesn't even know what business you're in. So it can be a mess pretty quick.
Well, and thankfully, so our broadcaster, he actually does not have our audio chat from the race on the broadcast.
Okay.
So me as a race control, if you run at a local short track and you have a receiver, you know how those guys are.
Yep.
they get loud.
Yes, they do.
I do get loud as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those that I am so glad we don't have our chat on his broadcast, because he would definitely be getting demonetized.
Yep. Yeah, I don't even know how...
They're listening to me, you know, yell at these guys and be like, get your fucking shit together, like, this is bullshit, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know how it happened that the broadcaster heard it or it got out, but somehow it got out. It may not have got out on his broadcast, but it was in somebody's, a family member's house whose kids are watching their dad race. So the audio was in, you know, with a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds watching their dad race, and here's this guy, F you, I'm gonna kill you if I ever find you. Imagine that, you're watching your dad race, you're 5 years old, and this goon comes on and says he's going to kill your dad after the race. You know, that's
no, I completely get it.
Yeah.
Like, that.
So tell me about the tracks here. You said all your tracks are under a mile in length. So you're definitely
sure,
of course. And you just pick the short tracks because that's your favorite, or that's what everybody likes to run?
So we wanted to try to keep the vibe of, you know, short track Saturday night.
Okay.
Yep, of course, you know, we run the Legends.
Yeah.
Those cars are pretty limited on the track size.
Yes.
There's really only so much you can do with them. I will say, from season one to season two, we are definitely going to larger tracks for season two.
Yep.
You know, we're heading, you know, our season opener is Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's for every series. Myrtle Beach, Hickory's a real small track. Nashville's kind of, you know, intermediate. But then we get into Rockingham, which Rockingham is actually our largest track at 1 mile.
Okay.
The rest of them are either half mile with a couple, you know, less than half mile thrown in.
Yep.
You know, and we try to keep it the tracks that guys like to run. Something we're going to be doing is we only run 10-week seasons.
Ah, okay.
But we try not to run two tracks back-to-back seasons.
Got it.
You know, give guys variety. You know, we're adding in a road course race. We're doing the New Hampshire road course for the Legends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those, you know, trying to keep guys interested.
Sure.
And, you know, giving these guys more tracks to run. A lot of guys, we only have 2 free tracks on our schedule for season two, which ultimately kind of worries me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've had so many of my guys sit here and say, hey, I've already bought all the tracks. I'm ready to go. Like, guys are hyped up. They are so ready to get this next season going.
We found this.
And, yeah.
We found the same thing after season two. We took the summer off because we race on the Cup League runs Sunday afternoons at 4. And, you know, Sunday afternoon at 4 when it's 75, 80 degrees out and you want to be out barbecuing or sitting outside drinking beer, the last thing I want to be doing is down here in the man cave, where it's hot and humid, even the air conditioner on, running a race. So we ended season two, I think it ended early June, when it's just starting to get really nice around here, because May is kind of iffy. And then no sooner were we done with season two, taking the summer off, well, the guys are like, hey, you mind if I throw up a fun run on Saturday afternoon or Friday night? And all of a sudden, we're back racing every week, but it wasn't a committed schedule. And it was so funny because, like I said, everybody's all ramped up. We're 2 weeks, and we're like, guys are texting me and said, hey, can we put up a fun run on for Joe Sixpack on Friday night? I go, yeah, go ahead. No problem. Next thing you know, we're back to racing every week, but we weren't committed to a league. So I know what you mean about getting ramped up, because we just finished season three on Sunday this past week, and we started with a recruiting Sunday night, and we're doing 21 recruiting races for the three leagues between, you know, this past Sunday and the first of the year. So even though we're in between seasons, there's a lot of behind the scenes work going on, and everybody in about a week from now, they're already asking if they can put up fun races. I said, just show up to the recruiting races. We don't have to schedule anymore, because it was a nightmare scheduling 21 races over 3 weeks.
I completely get that.
Yep.
We're in recruitment right now.
Yep.
So we've already ran two of our 3 weeks of recruitments. It's definitely been an interesting ordeal.
Yep. Always is.
You know, this week we were at South Boston, which brings a lot of guys out, but a lot of guys are very aggressive at South Boston.
Yeah, why is that? I've always noticed that track. So that track in USA International, yeah, they seem to bring out the aggressive drivers.
Oh, I can't express enough how much I don't want to run another South Boston recruitment race.
I have a feeling maybe because it's Boston, everybody's going to get on there and think it's another tea party, and they're just going to run stoplights, raise hell, and cause accidents.
That's very possible. I mean, we're taking next week off, just because of Christmas and everything.
Yep.
But we're not, even though it's a Sunday, Monday, it's the farthest days away from Christmas, I still want to give guys that extra week off, and, they don't have to come out and run a recruitment.
Uh-huh.
So our next ones are the 26th and 27th. That's going to be our final recruitment, and then January 2nd is we're ramping right into the season. It's been a fun month, but I am so ready to get my regular guys back, man.
I hear you. So you said that once recruiting closes, you don't take any new drivers. Is that true?
Yes. Okay. So we're not going to be – oh, yes and no, I guess I should say.
Okay.
When we close recruiting, we can take drivers, but you have to have a recommendation from a driver already in the league to even be considered.
Got it. Okay.
And I require guys to run a practice normally.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to throw up an hour session, for each class the day of, and I'll sit there and I'll see how they race, how they all run other guys, and
yeah.
Some guys I may say, okay, we'll let you run tonight, and if everything goes well, you can stay. But some guys, I don't think you're a good fit.
Yeah. Kind of like on probation.
We already have a good core group of guys.
Yeah.
And we're up to, I think we're 70, no, sorry, 82 members in the league right now.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I'm not looking to get much bigger than that.
Yeah. Now, is that 82? Yeah. Is that across all your series?
Yes, is 82 across all series. Yeah. Guys that come in, they can run any of the four series. So, on average, we're looking 25 to 30 legends.
Okay.
Anywhere from 15 to 20 tour mods.
Yep.
Street stocks, they're still up in the air. We won't know how many guys show up until the season starts because it's a new series.
Got it. When you're done with recruiting, how do you determine who gets in the league? Do you meet with your admins and pick them and then notify them, or how does that work?
So, like I said, you have to have a recommendation from someone in the league.
Even the run recruiting?
That per- Oh, for recruiting or not recruiting?
No. How do you pick your new drivers from the recruiting league, from the recruiting season?
So it's one of those that anybody that wants to join, they can join the Discord. You know, I'm only promoting it really in the recruitment races and giving it out to anybody in there. And we're just kind of watching the names. My admins have been watching with the recruitment races. And anybody that we feel isn't a good fit for the league, you know, we politely ask them, hey, or not ask, but tell them, hey, we don't feel you're going to be a good fit.
Got it.
Come back at a later date, sure. You know.
Okay.
But we haven't had to actually do that with anybody during this recruitment.
Yep.
The guys that have been joining, which I'd say we've grown probably 15 to 20 members in the month of December.
That's exactly what we're looking to add, is 15 to 20. Because we have a cap on drivers of 35. We don't want to do the full 43 or whatever that is. It just gets too crazy with, you know, the skill level that's in our league. So we kind of do what you do. We have our admins will jump in the races and put in other league members. And what they'll do is, especially the admins, is they'll kind of go in the pits and then come out, and they kind of space themselves out up front, in the middle, and then in the back. And then a couple of them will go and they'll park and get out of the car and then watch from chopper view or blimp view, and they take down notes and everything. So it kind of sounds like something along the same kind of the way you do it. Keep an eye on the drivers, watch the names, see who shows up to all the recruiting races. And, you know, some guy says, what does it take to get in? And I says, you know, I said, I don't care if you finish dead last. If you can hold your line and can do, you know, with the bumping and grinding on some of the shorter tracks and you don't cause a lot of wrecks, I said, you're probably going to get in. I said, but if you're aggressive and you're nasty and you can't hold your line, you're not going to get in. So.
Yeah, and that's same with us. One simple rule, don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
I mean, that's how we break it down is you come out here and you raise our guys respectfully.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not being a dick to everybody out there.
Yeah.
We'll take you.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very open. And, you know, the guys that are higher skill gap or higher eye rating, they help out the guys that are lower.
We've seen that as well.
My father is a lower eye racing guy.
Yeah.
But over the progression of season one, he went from every race being 2 to 3 laps down to all of a sudden he's up here racing with these guys.
Isn't that great how you see when a new driver that gets in that's new to iRacing,
it's amazing.
And they can just they say, what do you got to do? Just hold your line. Don't worry about being fast. Watch what the better drivers do and learn how to hold your line. It's not that hard. And they say, well, I always go, you know, if I'm up high in the turns, I always come low. And I said, that's part of holding your line. I said, it's natural when you're high in a turn on a high bank course or any course that you want to take that sharp turn and go low. And I told some people the same thing. And I says, and if you're low going into a turn, the car is just one and naturally going to drift up. I said, you just got to learn to control it. And I said, I can't tell you how to drive. I said, just watch how the better drivers do it. And it's amazing to see how these guys come in. Like a couple guys we had last year who couldn't, they couldn't drive, pull a car into a 3-car garage where it was wide open. Now they're like, holy crap, what did you do? Did you practice? No, I'm just watching the better guys. So it's not hard.
It's really not. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, the guys in my league, we have a great group of guys that just help each other out.
That's
and
what you need.
It's been amazing just to watch the progression, like you were saying, and seeing these guys be more competitive, and ultimately, it brings up the quality of the racing.
It does.
And everybody else enjoys it.
Yeah, and that's the key to having a good league, is having a core group of guys. We've cut our attrition rate down. I think our first season, we lost a third of the drivers, and I think now we're only losing about 10 to 15%. Some of them get really good, and they want to go on to, you know, to better racing. Edmund, this has been a great conversation. You believe we've been going at it for over an hour already. And remember when I first reached out, I said, yeah, they're 15-minute segments. Well, we've gone through five of those. That's why I don't have two guests on it.
So, yeah, time flies, man.
Yeah, it does. It is funny because usually when I first – every time I get a guest on, I'm looking at it, and I see how far we're going through, you know, the league bio and the personal bio, and I'm saying, oh my gosh, it's only quarter after. How are we going to make it? And then next time I look, it's like 9 o'clock, and I'm like, whoa. So anyway, since you're almost done with recruiting, if somebody wants to get in touch with you to get in, because this is going to go, this podcast will be uploaded to YouTube tonight and about 10 podcasting platforms tomorrow. So, and I know you're running short on time there. So somebody hears this over the weekend or tomorrow on whatever, on Spotify, how do they get in touch with you if they want to get into the race before you shut down recruiting?
The easiest way is to go on Facebook. You know, most people have Facebook nowadays.
Yep.
And search Jones BS Racing League. We do have a growing Facebook page, you know, almost 100 members on there. The majority of the guys on there are my league guys.
Okay.
I do post regular updates on there. There's a pinned post with the Discord. Everything we do is ran through Discord. Okay. So we do require guys to be a part of our Discord.
Yep.
You can see me on that page. I'm usually the only person that's posting stuff in there. Get a hold of me. Find out when the next recruitment is. If it's after recruitment, like, we are shutting down recruiting January 2nd.
Oh, so you got to
leave. There's a little bit of time after the last recruitment race. You know, if you want to get in still, come talk to me, and, you know, we'll make the decision there. It may be as simple as I'm going to throw up a hosted session and see how you drive.
There you go. Well, hey. You said mention your podcast. Do you have your own? Because you mentioned that you had your own. Why don't you give me a plug for that?
I don't. I do have a Twitch.
Okay.
I do stream all my XCal events. It's Warlord Eddie on Twitch. Anything else JVSR related is on How to Suck at iRacing on Facebook or Twitch and YouTube.
How to Suck at iRacing, Jones Bullshit Racing, and the Joe Sixpack Podcast. How can you go wrong?
You can't.
You can't.
It's amazing.
All right, Edmund, thanks a lot. I know it's early out there on the West Coast, and it's my bedtime here in the East because I'm old enough to be twice as old as you, but that's how it goes these days. So, hey, I want
to... it's late for me because I got to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, so...
Oh, so we're in the same boat because I'm going to bed now and I get up at 4. I'm basically retired. I don't do anything for the winter, but I'm up at 4 anyway. So, hey, this has been great. Great conversation. And it'll be, like I said, up on Twitch. I've got your sponsors up there on the page here. That'll be up for a couple weeks. And, hey, thanks for coming in. This has been great.
Hey, thanks for having me. You have a wonderful night.
You too. Good night. Edmund Jones from the Jones Bullshit Racing League. Oh, what a great, great story of how he came up with that one. And also the Edwards Setup Shop, AMT Racing Photography, JR Button Boxes. Great group of guys. We had Andrew on here from AMT Racing Photography, Andrew Thornton, about a month ago. And that was another great conversation. You didn't talk about racing, and you never know how long it's going to go. You start at 8 o'clock, and it's hour and 15 minutes later. Thanks a lot, Edmund. We'll catch you online, I'm sure, and give you a holler back and see how that season's going there. I'd like to thank DTL Custom Graphics for the new logos for our three leagues, and the Joe Sixpack Podcast, JSPRL, Joe Sixpack Racing League Cup Series, runs on Sundays, recruiting races now at Kentucky, Charlotte, and Daytona on Sundays and Friday nights through early January. The Joe Sixpack Racing League Formula V Series is a brand new league for us. The first recruiting race will be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Lime Rock, using the classic course with no chicanes until we get used to driving with each other there. The JSPRL Pick'em Up Truck Series runs on Tuesday nights. We had our first recruiting race last night at Atlanta. 90 laps all under green. 21 trucks started, 17 finished the race. So we're off to a good start. You want to find out when we're racing? You can look us up on the Joe Sexpack Racing League on Facebook. We have our own page there. And I'll be out there borderline spamming all the iRacing pages, letting everybody know when the races are. And again, there's 21 recruiting races between this past Sunday and the 2nd of January. And we start off with the truck season January 4th on Tuesday night. January 6th will be the first race for Formula V. And the Cup Series on Sunday, January 9th at 4 p.m. 13-week series to get in. Show up. All you got to do is have an safety rating from Rookie 2.0 to A 4.0. An iRating cap of 2,000. If you're close to 2,000, like 1980, and you go over during the season, you're grandfathered in. We let everybody stay in, but we figure once you get up like close to 3,000, you're probably not going to want to race with us anyway, because most of us are in the 1,500s, like that. And we also check your stats on iRacing, looking for drivers that are clean drivers. You meet the IR, you meet the SR, we're going to check your average incidents. We had a couple dudes wanted to get in. They'd been on iRacing for over a year. They were top 5 30% of the time, winning 10, 15% of their races, but they're having 17, 20 incidents per race. And that doesn't fly, because you're doing that, you're wrecking people to win, is my judgment on that. And then the Joe Sixpack podcast every Wednesday night, which started out about a year ago as a weekly update for the Joe Sixpack Racing League. We started bringing in guests, so now we're doing usually two podcasts a week, but this holiday season is a little bit lighter. And the good old Joe Sixpack Racing merch shop, still got that 4-inch tree ornament up there, and then the Joe Sixpack throw pillow, so you can throw it at the cats climbing the tree, or just have a few beers and start throwing pillows at your Christmas tree. 177 different items up there. Anything from gym bags to drinking glasses, men's and ladies' pajamas, shower curtains, beach towels, you name it, it's probably on there. And you can find that at the Joe Sixpack Racing merch shop at cafepress.com/Joe Sixpack Racing League. We don't mark things up very much. We get $3 goes to the league for every item that's sold. It goes into prizes and paying for the broadcasting and track rentals. That's the Joe Sixpack Racing merch shop, cafepress.com/Joe Sixpack Racing League. And as always, have yourselves a good week. We'll be back with at least one more episode next week. Until then, get out there and participate in the recruiting races, looking for 15 to 20 drivers to add to each league. Maybe 12 to 15. 20 would put us over the top. But come on out. Schedules are up, and Joe Sixpack Racing says thank you, and we'll see you on the track.